Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website. To the sad, sad truth, the dirty lowdown.
For the last several weeks, we've talked about a lot of different topics that we hope you found helpful as we plod forward through this unprecedented situation. And today we're going to veer a little bit off the road and we'll get a chance to hear from a bit of a different perspective, specifically from the point of view of some of our village communities. Graciously joining us on the program today are the Yuzinki Mayor Elijah Jackson, Akiak Mayor Dan McCoy, and Port Lions Mayor Dorinda Kewin. We're going to talk about how their communities are dealing with COVID-19, what they've done, what they're doing, how they see themselves moving forward through the summer with the fishing and tourism seasons upon us, and how they're going to plan on getting through all this. If you have questions, lowdown@kmxt.org or give the station a call, 486-3181, and we'll have the questions relayed in. Welcome to you all. Thank you for taking time out of your busy days to participate in the show today.
My pleasure.
Well, let's
morning, Mike.
Morning, Dan. Let's start with what's going on in let's just introduce yourselves first so people get accustomed to how you sound and who's doing the talking. And let's start with you first, Elijah from Yuzinki.
All right, my name is Elijah Jackson and I am the mayor of the city of Yuzinki.
Long time mayor, are you there, Elijah?
Oh man, I wish. No, I'm a brand new mayor. I started in November, but I have a really, really good city council, and so they help me out with a lot. So,
this is baptism by fire, then, Elijah?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yuzinki, for those not in the know about it, is a population right adjacent to Kodiak, with a population of about 150, is that right?
Yeah, we average between 150 and 200. It goes up during the summer. I'm not sure what this summer's going to bring, though.
So what's your situation been like since the shutdown?
Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. You know, this is just, it's so new to all of us. And like I told you before, most of the community is on board and just with it. And we still have, you know, a small group that kind of wants to do their own thing. But for the majority, I'd say about 95% of the community has just been on board. And we created a community leader group, which is myself, the mayor, the vice mayor, the tribal president, and the tribal vice president, just so we could meet and try to tackle all these situations that change every day with this COVID. And yeah, it's something. It's definitely new with none of us going through this before.
Yeah. Dan, how about down in Akiak?
We're not quite in the same boat they are up on the north end of the island. We're out back of beyond down here, so we don't get a lot of pass-through traffic. Or actually, since this started, we were the first village on the island to shut the village down. And we haven't had a outsider come in since with the school shut down and with the clinic shut down. There's no canna people coming in, or no school people, no end of the year school maintenance, or none of that going on. We just haven't had anybody come into the village since we shut the village down.
So are things starting to pick up a little bit now?
Yeah, going to be a lot of fishermen starting to come. You know, it's that time of year, but they're going to all be directed that if they land on our runway or getting picked up by a skiff, that they land on our runway and walk right over to the beach and have no contact with any of the residents.
So for those who don't know, Akiak on the south end of the island, what's the resident population usually?
About 75 right now.
Yeah.
But it'll be picking up with summer. And whoever, I know of people coming back today from a trip to Anchorage, and they're bringing someone else's kid down with them. And they'll all quarantine when they get here for 14 days.
Okay. You've been the mayor there for quite a long time.
I've been mayor for, I think, 5 years and vice mayor for probably 10 before that.
So you've been through the ups and downs of a lot of different things in your community over the years, right? You're kind of a seasoned mayor of the three.
Oh, yeah, I lived through Sarah Palin. I mean, this is...
Oh, that's a great stand-up line, Dan.
Yeah. It's been a long 20 years.
Oh, on that note, let's talk a little bit about Port Lions. Dorinda, welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How are things on our nearest neighbor community? Well, I usually depends on which boat ramp you take from, but Port Lions is one of our close neighbor villages. How are things
like
there?
Like Yuzinki.
Yeah.
I think Port Lions is holding up pretty well. It's been a long couple of months, but this nice weather we've had the last couple of weeks has helped a lot. So people have been able to get out and enjoy some sunshine.
Not as squirrely. So how long?
Not as squirrely.
How long have you been in the mayor of Port Lions?
Well, less than a year and a half, and like I told you earlier, it's been a true baptism by fire. Lots and lots of things to address, and when COVID came, I had gotten to the point where I just said, well, what's going to happen today? And so that's what we said. We said, well, we got something new to deal with today. What are we going to do with it?
Well, you've had some significant challenges in the last year and a half. I mean, not just the COVID. Before that, you had...
We started this year off with a fire at the boat harbor, and we've lost a lot of infrastructure, both private and city-owned, due to the snow and ice after this winter, because it's, you know, heavy winter after a long time of mild winters, and significant water distribution leaks in our water distribution system that we've had to address, which we had to wait for a thaw. So we've been busy the last few weeks. COVID hasn't slowed down my crew at all. They've had plenty of work to do, and they've jumped in and done it gladly. So I'm pleased to say we're getting things fixed and we're getting ready for summer.
Okay, well, let's just jump into communication issues. I mean, this is such a new thing for you of trying to deal with this. How are you collectively, or how have you individually gotten to where you could try and deal with it? I mean, were you getting your information directly from the state? These are like creating new plans, new ways to transmit information to your citizens. How were you able to accomplish that when things first started getting hot and you knew that you had to start shutting things down?
Well, I can tell you that our email inbox was inundated. Alaska Municipal League, State of Alaska, the Kodiak Emergency Services Operations Center, FEMA-related, Homeland Security and FEMA-related, just tons and tons and tons of information to digest, not to mention following state and local news broadcasts and listening to the radio. So digesting all of that and then interpreting it in a way that was significant to our community, and then working with the City Council and the Native Village Port Lions in our community to figure out a way that we could move forward and what would be best for our community was a huge challenge, and it was exhausting. But I feel like we finally are starting to get a grip on it. And just as that happened, now we have to interpret the CARES Act and the FEMA regulations in terms of trying to get reimbursed. So it's ongoing, constant information that you have to digest and figure out how it applies to your community.
How about in Yuzinki?
Yeah, so when this first started, you know, like we all have been saying, there's no playbook for this. And so we have an incident command here in Yuzinki, and without there being a VPSO, it puts the mayor at the top of the incident command. And so I was like, of course, I don't know how to handle this incident. And so the first thing I did, I called our local CANA worker, our health aide, Shelley Martin, and went up and had a meeting with her and her husband, who is our fire chief as well. And he has a bunch of military background, and both of them combined are just amazing, just awesome. And so they were able to help us put a plan together, and CANA came up with a plan for us and said all they could do was suggest us, you know, to do stuff. They can't tell us what actually to do, but, you know, I listened to the people who were smarter than me and just said, hey, okay, this is what we should try to do. And so, yeah, I called Island Air, just everyone I've talked to around the state, Russell Cameron from ANTHC, a bunch of people have just been pouring in with information on, hey, you guys should try this, or, you know, you need to go this route. And so Russell Cameron's the one who got me connected with the EOC and the SEOC, and I've called Dorinda about things. There's just I've reached out to every single person I could, and we've, for the most part, you know, I think it's been a pretty good plan, but only time will tell for, you know, the most part. But, yeah, it's, I don't, every day, you know, this thing changes, and so you feel like you're doing good one day, and then you don't know what's going to happen the next day. But the team we have in place is so far been just on top of it.
Well, how big is your core group? How big is the group that assists you in doing what you're doing?
So our community leaders group, I told you there was the four that are here. We also have Darren Muller up in Anchorage. He's the chairman for the Yuzinki Native Corporation. I want to say I have about eight people total that I am in constant loop with, that I'm just every day picking the brains, or, you know, hey, what do I need to do this? And when we first shut down travel to the island, I didn't know I needed to go through the EOC, SEOC. I just sent a letter to Island Air. It's definitely been a learning curve every step of the way, but we're getting it.
Dan, how about in Akiak?
What was that, Mike?
How did you get things kicked off in Akiak? How were you first dealing with things when things first started to change?
Well, we had a combined city and tribal meeting, and we just came up with some general guidelines on how to distance ourselves from town. If it's going to get to Akiak, if the virus hits, it's going to come in on that airstrip right there. So, I mean, that's your choke point. Just guard your choke point, and we should be fine. Like I say, we don't have as many people coming and going as, like, Yuzinki and then where they have lodges and a lot bigger population. It was fairly easy for us to just shut down. We just shut down. But we do have, I'm sure the mayors are aware of that satellite dish they're putting at the clinic. That company's been calling me and wanting permission to re-enter the community and go in the clinic and finish hooking it up. And our general consensus on that is it's non-essential. And I feel bad because I'm sure the contractor isn't going to get paid on that contract till project's finished.
Now, what kind of satellite is this? What kind of services they provide?
It's a GCI dish that all the clinics are getting. It's a backup emergency system.
All right. Well, that's a good question. I mean, do you have access to how is the infrastructure for information exchange? I mean, the phone systems are all good. The internet systems are all good.
Yeah, in the beginning, we were just like everybody else, you know, Facebooking it. And until it progressed enough that everybody pretty much learned they only take good information off the CDC website and Anna Ellingson, she's a state nurse there in Kodiak. She's a good friend of the community. And she would forward me anything that she got on it to pass out in the village. But for Akiak, it was fairly simple. Just shut down, no outsiders, and it's not, you know, if it's not essential, we're living fine down here. If it's not essential, we're still not thinking of letting people in yet.
But for processing all the information that was coming in, like Elijah was talking about, was that left to you, or is that part of a council decision? Do you have an emergency services group down there that's helping to
look
at all these directives? And
we have a village response team, and we have the clinic, the school, and two tribal councils and the city council. When it first came out, and it was, I think the day I announced no outsiders in the village, we had a meeting that day and got the tribe, like I said, you know, everybody's input on which direction we should go, and that was just no outsiders, not essential personnel only. When freight and mail comes in, we spray it down with Lysol, you know, that kind of stuff. Wear a mask to the plane, and the pilots are wearing masks, so we're sanitizing. And then our postal worker, he hits it with Lysol again and wears gloves and his mask, so we're doing our best. When this first started, I was able to get like 20 cans of Lysol and 20 cans of wipes, and so I was stocked up enough on that. We're still good. I think I still got 5 cans of Lysol left.
5 cans, like spray cans?
Yeah.
So let me ask, do each of the villages have a nurse or a public health worker, and do each of you or any of you have a VPSO available?
Port Lyons does.
We have here in Akiak, here in Ogdemiana, and we have our clinic built in 2010, and it's staffed with 2 health aid workers, and they through CANA and through our tribes in the city here, we've come together and have procedures in place for them to screen people and take care of people through the clinic without ever going in the clinic if they think there's a problem.
Okay.
But yeah, we have VPO and village response team and our health aides.
You have 2 health aides?
Yes.
So do you have testing equipment down there now, eh?
Yeah, they've already taken some tests and sent them out, but yeah, they got the test through CANA. They take the test here and send them to CANA, and then CANA processes them.
And no cases, so you're all happy. So, Dorinda, what's available in Port Lyon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a VPSO, and we have 1 community health aide and 1 behavioral health aide. And our clinic is owned by the tribe and staffed by CANA, and they're doing a great job. We've been real careful here because we just have the 1 health aide, and she has a family. She's our only medical professional, so we want to take real good care of her. So same thing, screening, interviewing, making sure that folks that go to the clinic are properly protected, and she's always in her PPE gear, too. So, yeah.
Elijah, how about you, Zinke?
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
How do you have a VPSO? Do you have healthcare workers there?
Yeah, we have... We just have our 1 healthcare worker, and we do not have a VPSO yet. He, We actually have a guy who is hired, and he goes into the training, the academy, in July, I believe. And he is expected to come here sometime this month before he goes to the training. So we will have one soon, but we haven't for a long time. But, yeah, we've been doing our best to take care of our healthcare worker. She's just been awesome from the start. I mean, she trained me and our harbor master. We were meeting people at the plane, screening them when they got off, meeting people who came in on the barge for our penstock project, and she was helping us screening and with just everything. She's been fantastic. So I found a bunch of N95 masks here. I found 20 of them brand new, and I went into the clinic and traded her for the cheaper ones so she could have the really good ones, and we would just have the little cheapy ones. But yeah, we're definitely doing our best to try to take care of her.
Sounds great. Well, let's talk about each of your communities and the initial response you get. Are people for the large part complying or helping you with living in according to the mandates, or are you getting any resistance from the population?
For us
here in Antioch, no resistance at all.
No resistance at all in Antioch?
No, everybody's pretty much on board. And I know it's bad. It's going to get way worse on the outside, the food banks and stuff, Mike. But here in Antioch, we're making it, and everybody's on board. We should stay the course. And like I said, we're not even considering letting any non-essential people come in. We haven't even discussed that. We extended our emergency order for another month to the end of May.
So are you self-reliant enough to where are you running into any distribution plans or, there's no resistance. People don't want to get out. I know before we went on the air, we talked a little bit to Elijah about how now that the restrictions have been lifted that people in Yuzinki seem to want to get out. And you're not seeing the same thing in Aki,
are you? Yeah, here everybody's been here. Nobody's really been traveling or nothing, and no outsiders for, you know, pretty much since this thing started, Mike. So we're corona-free, man. So, you know, we've been just business as usual here pretty much.
Okay.
A lot of people, tribal workers, they're working from home. I think me and the postal workers only want to come into the city office. And my clerk, Marcella.
Well, that sounds like you got a pretty together community then. Everybody wants to stay down there, stay away, and stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's still going out and getting firewood and going about village life as normal, just the new normal.
The new normal, you're right. But, Elijah, things are a little bit different. Things are a little bit different, though, in Yuzinki, right, Elijah?
We're so close to Kodiak. And so it's not that, you know, it's a 30, 45-minute skiff ride to get to town. And so for the most part, like I said, everyone has just been, you know, everyone's scared of this thing, and no one knows what it's going to bring, and no one wants it. But we still have, you know, there's been a couple people who are just, you know, we know they're not traveling to Kodiak for something essential, you know, so it's, for the most part, they have come back and quarantined. And so I would say it's been pretty good. It's really hard to ask people to stay at home, you know, and especially when you're on such a beautiful island and beautiful days coming up and, you know, not go see your family members who live right down the street. You know, that gets really hard, and so I definitely understand it. But with the way our community is, with the elders we have here and everything, I don't want one person here to get it. And so we were able to kind of push that message out that, you know, instead of us trying to enforce it, like, hey, if you do this, we're going to find a way to arrest you, which none of us are cops, you know. It was more of we'll push the public health, the health aspect of it to you. You know, like, this is going to save your life or someone you care's life. And so for the most part, like I said, it's been really, really good. And our city council, our tribal council, they're just, everyone's involved in. So yeah, it makes up a big chunk of the island when you have all the leaders really serious about it.
Okay. How about Port Lions, Dorinda?
Well, we're similar to Yuzinki, that we're so close to Kodiak, and we have the added circumstance that we have a lot of part-time residents. We have people that own homes here and may spend 6 to 9 months of the year here and then leave in the winter time. So we have a set of unique circumstances. Folks that want to go through Antones to get to Kodiak, you know, it's what they normally do. And when Antones was thawing, that became an issue. So luckily for us, we have in our municipal code a chapter dedicated to emergencies, and so we have some guidance there. We don't have the best internet for the whole community, besides the school and the libraries at the tribe in the city. We don't have great internet for the community, and that's been a challenge for folks. So we used teleconferencing, which is very expensive, but to hold public meetings to get input from our community. And we sent out multiple public notices, which is a lot of paper and envelopes and postage. But we did our very best to communicate with folks. I'm figuring if I have to wade through information, you know, for days to figure out what might be significant to our community, the folks living here are probably getting so much information and not knowing what all applies and what to believe and what not to believe. So we try to use the education and advice strategy with folks here. We do have, you know, the bulk of the population that even if they don't understand or agree with everything that's happening or that's in place, they're very respectful of that and they're respectful of each other. We do have a few small groups that there were two problem groups, and one's not even a problem group. We had the people not understanding household doesn't mean family, and so we had, you know, a few groups of very tight, immediate family members that interact with each other regularly, and we didn't really try to stop that because the notion that folks are already isolated and this could just add to possible depression and other anxiety, so we kind of left that alone. And then we had another small group of folks that just didn't want to hunker down. They were going to be social, they were going to do what they were going to do, or they just didn't believe in the hunkering down and the social distancing. So when the first case appeared in Kodiak, that was a bit of an eye-opener, and our VPSO has been really effective since then in reaching out to folks by telephone and interviewing and advising and educating. And like I said, the bulk of our community is just super respectful of each other. You know, the governor says it's not going to go away. We are going to see more cases. But none of us wants to be the one that brings that case to our community elders or our at-risk populations. And so I think that I think Port Lions has been wonderful. And we've got people out enjoying subsistence activities and sharing the harvest of their subsistence activities. We've got a group of ladies here that have sewn masks and pretty much supplied masks to the whole island. We just have people being nice to each other and taking care of each other. I did want to mention before I forget, though, that Teresa Muller and Yuzinki created the Kodiak Island Communications Facebook page, and that was a huge help. For some reason, even if you can't get your email, a lot of times you can get to Facebook here, and that was a great way for all of the communities on the island to share information. And so we used that, and so did our community.
Great. So, Elijah, you know about it, obviously, since it came out of your community. Do you folks in Akiak participate in that?
Yes, we're on that. And it has been a big help.
Well,
at least we're all on the same page.
Now, let's talk a little bit about finances. How are you all doing in terms of finances? And is there light at the, if things are bad, you know, is there relief for you anywhere? Don't all just...
I'll start. I wanted to make sure I didn't jump on top of anyone else's trying to speak. So I did a calculation that and very ballpark, COVID is costing the city of Port Lions about $1,366 a week and that, you know, maybe slightly higher or lower from week to week, but that's been the average. And it did not look very promising for us to recover much through FEMA. The small communities in Alaska are not set up to fit their financial needs into what FEMA likes to pay for. But the CARES Act shows some promise of being able to get reimbursed for the expenses we've incurred since March 1st. So it's still up in the air. It's hard to say, but it looks like that CARES Act funding may be our source of reimbursement for everything we're out of pocket for this particular issue.
How about in Akiak?
No, everything's pretty the same here, Mike. The only thing I've laid out money on is like Lysol and wipes and stuff. Everybody here is still going to work, the janitors and the health aides and the teachers' aides are going up and getting the kids' lunches and everything. We don't have any businesses here per se, you know that, Mike.
Yeah.
So we don't have any private like stores or anything here that had to get shut down.
You Zinke?
Yeah, we I want to say we're about the same. I created a position here. I have a guy who just disinfects all day. You know, we're essential workers here. We have to help keep the city going. And so I have a guy who literally just from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock wipes around just disinfecting everything. And so that's not a position we would have had before COVID. But so besides that and a couple other probably just minor little things, we're probably about in the same boat. But we are we're expected to receive help from the CARES Act. But I don't know how that's going to play out. They haven't told us any rules or restrictions on how or where that money is supposed to go yet. So that is up in the air. But for the most part, we're still in the same boat. Our projects are going along the same way. So we still have some income coming in. And, you know, all essential workers that come here are getting screened and tested. And so, yeah, I'd say right now I don't want to sound too optimistic because I don't know what's coming, but right now we're okay.
Well, let's talk about two things that were brought up earlier, cleaning supplies and groceries. You know, is there sufficient supply of disinfectants and masks and that kind of thing for you? And has your transportation stayed the same so you don't have problems with groceries yet?
So for us here,
here in Akiak, we just go ahead, Elijah.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, for us here, we have our penstock project going on. So we, once everything's shut down, the penstock, it's our water main line from our dam down to our pump house. So it's a very, you know, it's our water. It's a big deal. So these guys are considered essential workers. So with them coming with the barge and equipment. Our former mayor has a box truck that he allowed us to take to town, and we have guys in town who used to live here who are shopping for us and putting it in the box truck, and then they bring, when the barge comes, it drops off the box truck, and everyone gets their food, and it's been a lot of teamwork going on, and B&R Fish is the contractor that's bringing it for us, and they have just, man, Craig DeHart, Steve DeHart, they've been fantastic for us on that front, and they've every rule or guideline, you know, saying, hey, you guys, we're going to have to screen you when you come in. It's awkward for all of us. I'm not a nurse or a doctor or anything, so having to screen someone is, you know, is weird. But, yeah, it's been pretty good. We've been able to coordinate and get a lot of things done. But CAN has been dropping off food, too, that the tribe has been sorting out and handing out to all the village members, and I want to say they've made 3 drops now, and so yeah, we haven't seen any sort of shortages or anything like that, and basically no disruption yet.
Great, Dan, you were talking about Akiak there.
Yes, same with Akiak. You know, we still just call in Safeway and order our Cost Savers and order what we need, and
I'd like to say thank you to Canna. Canna has been great about dropping off food out here. I think they have made two or three food drops that has really, really helped. But pretty much the same, just order from Safeway and Lysol it down as it gets off the plane. Lysol the boxes.
You say you got five cans of Lysol, and you know it's something that's hard to come by around town here. Is there an emergency services group, or is there some way that you can get things like?
In town, they sent me 10 bottles of hand sanitizer. I requested Lysol from them, and I think they sent me one tiny little envelope of masks, a couple of face shields, and 10 bottles of hand sanitizer, and that's the last I've heard from them. And one of the main things I wanted was Lysol.
Dorinda, let's talk a little bit about Port Lions.
Well, that's been a couple of the most unique challenges. Folks here had to really wrap their brains around a new normal of not just jumping on the plane and going to town for groceries. So we have been the beneficiaries of receiving food gifts from Canna through the Native Village of Port Lions. They do all the work alongshoring and parceling and distributing. So we've gotten a couple, every home has received a couple of gifts of foods from Canna and the Native Village of Port Lions. And the Afognak Native Corporation has been using their Aleutic Pride boat to bring grocery orders from Cost Savers and Safeway to their shareholders here weekly. So folks have to meet the boat on whatever beach or at the harbor and pick up their the things that they've ordered from Kodiak, and that's been a huge help. Islander has continued to provide service and brought lots and lots of freight and groceries over for folks as well. They've been really compliant with our request to put masks on their pilots and to follow the protocols we set up at the airstrip. But cleaning and disinfecting supplies has really been a challenge. So we were lucky at the city that we had a supply of Clorox and some Lysol and gloves and things like that, but getting additional has been really difficult. We were also lucky to have a good supply of paper products, but I have yet to been able to order a disinfecting wipe. Got friends and family in Kodiak that grab a container off the shelf if they're lucky enough to see one and send it our way. We've reached out to Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, and they want to send us supplies, but they haven't been able to get them yet. Emergency Services Council in Kodiak sent us some cloth masks, but it's just a challenge to... right now, we ordered gloves early on in this process. You can't order nitrile gloves right now. We got some from Napa the other day, but we had to get sizes that... Our public works guys are probably gonna lose blood flow to their hands, but they've got to use what sizes we can get. So that type of supply chain is distribution chain is really interrupted right now, and it's an issue. But I fill a Ziploc with paper towels and dump in some Clorox and some water and make our own disinfecting wipes. You know, we do what we need to do, and like I said. A group of ladies here who are amazing have made hundreds and hundreds of cloth masks, and they're the type that you can insert a vacuum cleaner bag as a filter. I mean, they're pretty good in terms of cloth masks. They're double-layer fabric and a possibility to add additional filtering. And so we're making do. Getting a hold of the proper supplies is a big challenge right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the elder population in your community. Is it affecting the elders in the community? And if you are each doing something different to keep them isolated?
Yeah, here in Akiak, we're going out of our way to keep the elders taken care of. Lysol and hand sanitizer.
You Lysol the old people. That's great.
Make sure that
the houses the elders live in have that. But once again, with nobody coming in or going out, we're pretty, like all our kids still play together, and the kids don't go over and see the elders anymore, but the kids are still playing together, and none of them have left here in, going on a couple months now.
How about in Port Lions?
Well, we have, in the last 10 to 20 years, you know, lost a lot of our matriarch and patriarchal elders. We have a few left, a couple in particular, and their families take really good care of them. And that's what goes back to when I was talking about the difference between households and families. We didn't try to interrupt that caretaking setup for the family members that do take care of their elders. My dad is in his 70s, and it's been interesting for him. He's still, you know, mobile and capable and everything else, but it's been odd for him not to be able to socialize like he normally does and to run to Kodiak and take care of getting supplies and things like that. So I see that it can be difficult for them, especially the social distancing. But like I said, we didn't try to interrupt those very immediate families that were taking care of each other, and I think that was a good thing, a good choice on our part.
Elijah and Yuzinki.
Yeah. So our from the start, it was I just truly look at it as we're all high risk. But from the start, it was, you know, the elders here. I don't want one person here to get it. And our first emergency order, the first thing on it is Yuzinki residents shall stay at home as much as possible, except to pick up freight, groceries, or to get fresh air. Stay at least 6 feet away from people outside of your household. This includes family. And so that is, you know, that kept a lot of grandkids away from grandparents, and just, it's tough because you're used to seeing them out everywhere, going to these big potlucks and all these things, and eating with everyone, and just, it's, you know, and to not do that, it's tough. But it is, you know, it's for everyone's protection and you know, mainly theirs. But yeah, that's definitely been a big hurdle, because everyone's just so used to, you know, you run up to grandma's house to grab something if your parents are out, you know, and a lot of kids haven't been able to do that. But that's just, you know, just part of the way our health aid has tests set aside for them. It's been pretty good, but we're doing our best to take care of our elders, and when they need, we have people who can shop for them, and like I said, our box truck will bring it right here. We're doing everything we can think of to try to help out.
Okay, let's turn a little bit towards the summer season. You know, fishing is, tourism season is upon us. What are you preparing for?
Here in Yuzinki, we're allowing, it was medical travel only from our village to Kodiak. Now we've opened it up to essential travel, but it still is, as of right now, it still is only essential workers coming in. No just visitors, people to come in to hang out. We can't afford anything like that. And so we're still pretty strict about that. We have so many projects that were already started before this that they're essential to our village, to our community, so we have to continue them. But those people will continue to be screened and everything. But until we know more about COVID and everything, it's going to probably remain pretty much like this even throughout the summer. We'll just be outside more, getting fresh air together, hopefully.
So you're going to keep kind of isolated in Yuzinki until, you know, things are loosened up a little bit. Dorinda, you're in a little different world there. You have a lot of lodges in Port Lions, and a lot of fishing comes through there during the summertime. How are we dealing with that?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the big unknown, and you know, for our community, is what's going to happen with the summer tourism season, because we do have a number of lodges here, and that's just a giant question mark. You know, some of them may have been eligible for financial assistance as small businesses, some of them may not. some of them have bookings that they can roll over to next year, but what does that mean for this season if they can't have it this season? That's just a huge question mark, and we haven't even begun to think about addressing it from a travel perspective, because we have both state and local travel restrictions in place here. So my hope is that the next few weeks up to May 19th, that the state continues to see that we're handling this issue really well, and that the governor does decide to relax some of the travel situation, so maybe part of the tourism season can be salvaged, because that's going to be a huge hit, a huge impact for us locally if our lodges aren't able to operate, and they may not be able to. Like I said, it's just a big question mark right now. Commercial fishing is an essential industry. It will go forward. The state's put lots of restrictions in Mandate 17 and guidance. We're going to follow that here, and we're going to, since we own our boat harbor, we're going to be real diligent about paying attention to visiting vessels and that type of thing. But commercial salmon fishing should move forward with just a few obstacles and hurdles for the boat owners to jump over in terms of where their crew comes from and if they get them here and how long they have to isolate, you know, depending on where they come from. But yeah, it's a real concern for our lodges and our sport fishing folks here to see what happens this summer.
Are there safety protocols at each of the ports in your harbors? Do all of you, do you have somebody more on alert now? I don't even know if that's a full-time position to have somebody monitor your harbor.
We have a partial year harbor master situation. So our harbor's checked daily by our public works crew. But starting this past week, we have a harbor master that does multiple daily checks and works directly with the folks that rent stalls from us and use the facility. We haven't put super tight restrictions in place because we haven't restricted travel between Kodiak by plane or by boat for our community members, and except for that mandate from the governor that it needs to be for essential services and essential items. But we are, with summer coming, going to be a little bit more diligent at the harbor. If there are crew members that are isolating because they've come from out of state or off island, we will make sure that people know that that boat has people on it that they shouldn't be, you know, interacting directly with for the 14 days. And like I said, we're gonna be interviewing visiting vessels to make sure that we are having people disembark that actually need to be here for, you know, legitimate reasons. And that may ease up as the summer goes on, but that's how we're approaching the beginning of the summer season.
Great. Akiak, you're pretty much gonna hunker down then for most of the summer and do business as normal and let the Alitac cannery just operate independently down there without much interaction. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, right. Like if we get our heating fuel for our homes from the cannery, and if you want to get something from the cannery and they have a store there, you call ahead and tell Susan down there what you're needing out of the store and how much fuel and all that, and they will put it together and meet you on the beach with it.
Great.
There's already cannery workers showed up down there, and Susan and Jamie down there are doing their best to keep the cannery workers segregated. They don't want us to come into contact with them. They're mostly using float planes right now, so they're not landing cannery workers on our runway, but they will be. And they have their own van. They land on the runway, they get in the van, and go 2 miles out the road to a gravel beach where their skiff picks them up and takes them 5 miles over to the cannery. For the fishermen that are local here, our set net sites and stuff that have P.O. boxes in our post office, we have set up kind of a drive-through window to where call in advance and our postal worker meet you at the window and handle your business there at the window, and nobody actually comes into the city office.
Jordan, I want to ask you something specific since it really pretty much only pertains to you. What's the effect of the ferry delays have on your community?
Well, we've got, I can speak for, you know, having interacted with a few folks, and I know that if it was a normal lodge season, we'd have had, this would be a real difficulty for lodge owners that travel to Kodiak or the mainland to stock up for the summer season. There are folks, like I said, we've got a population that spends part of the time here and part of the time elsewhere, and we've got, you know, folks in Anchorage and beyond that can't come home for the summer yet because the ferry's not running. We've got folks that travel back and forth regularly on the ferry for medical, and that's all on hold. So folks in Port Lyons are watching the ferry schedule really tightly. And we were pleased to hear recently they've gone back to scheduling beginning June instead of beginning July. But, yeah, we've got folks that recently Sundog Charters came in here for a couple trips with the landing craft, and we have folks sending vehicles back and forth and things like that just because the ferry schedule's been an unknown and folks need to get where they need to get. So it's kind of an issue for us right now. Like I said, we're pleased to hear they're scheduling for early June now, though, so that is helpful.
Yeah. I'm going to go... I got a couple more questions before we close for today. What kind of fun things are you seeing in your community? Things that you normally wouldn't see that people are now doing that help them get through this. Are you seeing anything unusual?
I love living here. I have to tell you, the prevention team at CANA has been working with our behavioral health aide. They did a rock painting and hiding activity for prizes. The city, the tribe got together because we couldn't do our annual cleanup day, and so we made little kits of gloves and bags for people to go out and pick up garbage independently. Our city library has had some fun activities. The Native Village of Port Lyons has had some fun activities, and they're all similar to things that we would normally do, but extra and different because of our circumstances. The school, my heart just breaks for the kids, you know, that have had to social distance, and for the parents that have had to struggle in figuring out how to homeschool. But the district's been really, really supportive and sent book bags out. The school delivers breakfast and lunch packages to the families weekly. So they're still sharing the meals programs that they had. I love living here because people, every entity here has gone out of its way to come up with and still is coming up with things that the community can get out and do in consideration of social distancing. So it's been fun.
Great. How about in Yuzinki?
Yeah, I would say for us here, it would probably just be how what's been just awesome is how much the community has come together. And it does, you know, it kind of sucks it's under these circumstances, but, you know, all the entities were able to, you know, put whatever differences there is aside and come together as a group and just work for the community, and that has been just amazing. That'd probably be the one thing that's just blown my mind during this whole thing is how we've all been able to just work together and get stuff done.
Great. And Akiak?
The biggest thing here is the, like I said, all our kids are still going down on the beach and playing, and they shut down the playground. The kids didn't like that. You look up there, the two or three times during the day, all the kids congregate up at the playground up there. There'd be 10 or 12 kids up there playing at one time. And then they shut it down because school districts shut down. They shut the playgrounds. They actually yellow taped them off.
Yeah. So it sounds like from all of you that your communities have become stronger through this ordeal. Let me close just by asking you each, if there is one thing that the people of this community can do to help you out, what would that be? you need anything from Kodiak? Can the community here assist you in doing what you need to do as we get through this?
Well, on the lighter side, I'm curious, though, but it's kind of...
They're all really good about, you know, about what we need down here. I guess if there was one thing I could say, would just be stay where you're at.
Keep out. Keep off the lawn.
Not that I don't like people, well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Thanks for that, Dan. How about in Port Lyons?
None of us have started shooting up Lysol or drinking bleach yet.
That's a good thing.
Oh, Dan, I miss you. Well, for Port Lyons, it's a little, it's kind of a joke, but it's actually serious. So anybody that gets a hold of any Clorox wipes and sends them my way will be my hero forever. Secondly, if anyone is planning to travel to Port Lyons for any reason, it would be great if they would reach out to the VPSO or the city and just make sure that it's something that meets our community expectations. And I would just like to real quickly say thank you to Megan and Bianca and the folks at the EOC, because they have answered all my questions and all my emails and every phone call. And so as long as we have them there for information and interpretation when I get stuck with some of this emails and mandates that come my way, I think I'll be okay.
Cool. Elijah, you get the last word today.
There's not much else Kodiak can do right now for us. I've spoke to the harbor master, Deputy Anderson, the Megan Christensen at the EOC, Betty Cramp from the Coast Guard. There's been so many people that have just helped us out and given me the information, you know, that we need here. And so I feel like they've done everything in their power besides, you know, just stay there. But besides that, you know, everything's just been, you know, it's been pretty good, about as good as we could hope for with, you know, what's going on in the world, you know.
Well, with that, I wish you all a safe and a happy and prosperous summer, if we could make it that way. But I really appreciate all three of you giving us your time and your thoughts about how things are going. It actually sounds like things are going pretty well. So Elijah Jackson from Yuzinki, Dan McCoy from Akiak, Dorinda Kuhn from Port Lyons. You guys have a great summer and a good weekend. And a good day. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Mike.